Hey, we got room on the front row. I promise today I'm not going to spit on you because the baptistry is between us. 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 seats in the front. So come make your way down if you want to. Man, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out with us today. I know we're super crowded, but man, we're all super excited to worship God together and to celebrate today. Believe it or not, everybody look at me. Look. Believe it or not, the preacher going to preach short today, just saying. Yeah, because we're not here to hear me preach. We're here to celebrate baptism, but I really do feel obligated to share with our friends and our family that are going to be baptized today. We want to just talk a little bit about the significance of baptism and the importance of water baptism and what it really means for you and I. And so today we just want to welcome you to Bethel. Let me just tell you quickly, we are doing our very best to get a building built out front. The enemy has come, and our old sanctuary had to be torn down because of structural damage. And you know what? To look at it on the outside, it's totally the enemy because we got zero insurance money. Here we are, a bunch of country folk trying to just have a place to worship God, and now we got to rebuild. But you know what? What the devil meant for evil, the Lord's going to turn around and make for good, and we're going to build a campus and a place where we can come and worship, and lives are going to be changed and touch forever. So thank you for coming today. We are in the middle of our series. We've been talking about our home sweet church home. I'll tell you right quick, I love church. Our church home should matter to you and I. If you're here today and this is your place where God has called you to worship, this is your church home, and you should love your church home and support your church home and show up every time your church home gathers together to worship God and preach the word of God. And there's no perfect church. There's never going to be a perfect church. It's not going to always suit you, satisfy you. It's not about you or about me. It's about Jesus Christ, and it's about us coming together. And when we come together in the name of the Lord to worship God, God shows up, and when God shows up, it changes our lives. There's no perfect church, but church should matter to us. A good home, sweet church home should be a place where you and I can celebrate. Let's talk about celebration a little bit today. Can we do that? Because I grew up in a church that never celebrated. Come on, somebody. I grew up in a church. See, there's this error in the American church, in the church in America, that when we show up at church, like we can celebrate the cowboy extravaganza in Stanford, Texas. Come on, somebody. They're riding bucking horses, and it's the double mugging, and we can celebrate, and we can go to the dance, and we can celebrate our seventh grade's softball game. We can celebrate all these things in the world, but something about it, when we show up at church, this religious spirit jumps up on us, bites us in the butt, and we lose our celebration. And we get crusty, and we get dry, and we get all religious, and we lose our celebration. Come on, y'all. If anybody in this world should have something to celebrate, it is you and I, who were lost, but now we are found, who were sinners, but now we are saved, who were dead in our sin, but have been cleansed and set free, and we have the hope of eternal life. We should celebrate more than anybody. And here's what the Bible says. There's a guy named Solomon in the Bible. There's a guy named Solomon, and he was the wisest guy ever. You know what he said? He said, there is a time to cry, but there's a time to laugh as well. Some of you suckers need to learn to laugh a little bit. Because you know what? Laughter does good. Laughter is scientifically proven. It releases endorphin. Laughter is good for you and I. And church, we should be able to come together and be serious, but we should be able to laugh. There's a time to laugh. The Bible said there's a time to dance. Come on, some of y'all, you was over dancing last night to Jody Nix, but when you come to church, my God, you should look at all serious. It's a time to dance before the Lord. David, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. He was the anointed, chosen king of Israel. He was the king. And when the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, came back to the house of David, David ripped off his outer garments. Baby, he did a little dance for the Lord, glory to God. Celebrate. You and I got to learn to celebrate. Our home, sweet church home, should be a place where we come. We worship God together. We hear the word of God. We learn to pray. We learn to read the Bible, but we should learn to celebrate at our church as well. And when we learn to celebrate on Sunday, we will go home, and on Monday morning, we'll celebrate our wife, and we'll celebrate a cup of Folgers coffee. Come on, somebody, sitting at the table together. And when we celebrate on Sunday, we'll go home and we'll learn to celebrate our family and our siblings and our parents. We'll learn to celebrate everyday life. I just think the world would be better if more Christians learned to celebrate. I think the secret sauce of Bethel Assembly in Anson, the secret sauce, as much as I would like to tell you, it is your handsome, well-educated, perfectly spoken pastor over here that draws you here and does what it does. But I'd be lying. Connor is cool and swag and the big beard and all that he's got and the cute fiddle player. Come on, somebody. It's not what it is. I think the secret sauce at Bethel is we've learned to celebrate God and celebrate one another and celebrate what God has done in our life. Let me ask you something right quick, and I'm moving on because I got to hurry, and I told you I would. How many of you has God been good to you? Money couldn't do what God did, and a spouse couldn't do what God did, and a family couldn't do what God did, and the United States government couldn't do what God did, but God has changed you and touched you and saved you and made you new again. That is worth celebrating, y'all. And we got to learn to celebrate. Celebrate is mentioned 93 times in the Bible. To have joy, it's mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. To rejoice, it's mentioned over 282 times. We got to learn to celebrate. My man, where's my man Grant? Grant's here today. Where's Grant? They usually sit right there, but y'all done messed it all up and stole somebody's seat today. You can't do that in the Baptist church. You steal somebody's seat, you're screwed, boy. My man Grant right here, they come from Abilene. I never forget one Wednesday night. We had a Wednesday night service over here. And you know what? We didn't have no singing. We didn't have no praying. We didn't have no preaching. We just said, we're going to come together and celebrate family and friendship. And we was pitching cornhole out there, and the college kids was playing sand volleyball. I was showing them how to spike that sucker. I was riding them college kids like a Shetland pony. Come on, somebody. We was out there, and we had s'mores going on. I was in charge of s'mores. Grant ate like 17 s'mores that night. Because I gave him all that he wanted. Carrie Fortune had a cooked meal. We were sitting in here. It was just this great night. Fire was going. And I'll never forget little Grant is 6 or 8 years old. He said, you know what? He goes, man, I love this church. I didn't know churches had parties like this. And it was just the innocence of a child saying, you know what? We can come together and we can have a party around Jesus Christ and what matters in life. And we all need to learn to celebrate. Churches should learn to celebrate. And one of the greatest ways to celebrate is this. It's the waters of baptism. I love baptism services are my favorite services. Because you know what baptism services do? They unify the body of Christ. How many know the enemy's tactic at the body of Christ is division? Because a house divided against itself shall not be able to stand. And we've been looking at Acts chapter 2 when the church was birthed. We've been looking at the Word of God. And did you know when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, there were not denominations? But nowadays, the enemy has come in subtly, and he's divided the church because there's the Baptist church, and there's the Methodist church, and there's the Church of Christ church, and there's the Assemblies of God church, and he's divided us just a little bit. Can I tell you, when we get to heaven, the Bible says we're going to have to worship with the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholics, and there is going to be no denominations in heaven. But you know what I love about baptisms? People will lay down our denominational differences and we will show up in one place to celebrate somebody going under the waters of baptism. Baptism unifies. There's some of you here today, and I'd love to call you out, but I'm not going to call you out. But you know what? There's some of you, you would never darken the doors of the Bethel Assembly in Anson, Texas, because it's too loud and Cody's too rough and he's too harsh and I don't like it over there. But you showed up today because you want to celebrate somebody going under the waters of baptism that you love. That's the power of baptism. There's a moment in the Word of God where baptism, where we see the importance of baptism. Our God is a Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's one moment in Scripture, there's one time in Scripture where we see all three parts of the Trinity show up. Guess what it is? The waters of baptism. Matthew chapter 3, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it, and he goes, wait a minute, man. I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out the plans of God. So John agreed. After Jesus' baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water. That's why we believe in dunking them in immersion, because Jesus came up out of the water. When Jesus, the Son of God, when he came up out of the water, the Bible says the heavens were opened up and the Spirit of God descended on Jesus, settling on him like a dove. And then this voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In this one moment in history, the Son of God was in the water. He came up, the Spirit of God descended upon him, and the voice of God. It's this magical, mystical moment where we see the magnitude and the power of Almighty God, and it's in baptism. And can I tell you, for those of you that are getting baptized, whoo, I can't wait to dunk you under the water today. Those of you, when you come up out of the water, if it pleased God the Father for his only begotten Son to go under the waters of baptism, I want you to know today in this moment, you are pleasing God the Father when you go into obedience to baptism today. What a precious moment. What a precious moment. God's pleased with you. What does baptism signify? It signifies that the old man is dead. How many know we were all born into sin and we have all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And the only chance we have is to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed into us. Our sin is washed away. We are born again of the Spirit and we're adopted in the family of God. And we have the hope of eternal life. Here's what baptism represents for those of you. And for I say this to you, if you've never been baptized, I would say this to you today. You should pray and think about being baptized. Baptism does not, hear me on this, I will say this, I make no apologies. The waters of baptism do not wash away your sin, and the waters of baptism do not bring forgiveness to your life. There is only one thing that washes away our sin, and there is only one thing that makes us new again, and it is the precious shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary Hill. That is it. This is for us to signify. Here's what baptism means, and I'm almost done. Romans 6. This is for you that are being baptized or that maybe would be contemplating baptism. Romans 6, 3 through 6. Have you not forgotten, Paul says, have you forgotten that when you joined with Christ in his baptism, you were joined in his death? You were joined in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also should walk with new lives. Since we have been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as well. For we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power over us. We are no longer slaves to sin. As Jesus hung on the cross, they took him on the cross and they buried him in the tomb. They buried him in the tomb, the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. But on the third day, when he rose up out of the grave, he was no longer just the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He arose as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He arose as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He arose as the way and the truth and the life. He was different when he rose than when he was buried. And just like you folk that are going under the water today, you're going to be buried, that old man and that old sin and that old yuck and that old shame and that old guilt and that old condemnation is going to be buried under the water. But when you come up out of the water grave, you are coming out like Jesus. You're coming out a new person and a new creation in Christ Jesus so that you can celebrate and live life to the glory of Almighty God. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet, I'm just saying. It represents we go from death to life. Our sins are dead. We're walking in newness of life. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. For those of you that are being baptized today, I want to ask you to get up right now and make your way out those double doors. Gigi's going to be back there. She's going to show you where you can get changed. She's going to show you, she's going to give you your shirt to wear. As we get baptized today, I'm just loving it right now because I'm seeing kids that are 6 or 8 years old and I'm seeing people that are 60, 65 years old because baptism, it transcends age and time and everything, y'all. Here's what I want to ask you to do today. Can I ask you guys for something right quick? Can I ask you guys for something right quick? Celebrate. Celebrate. These people went from death to life. These people are making a public profession of faith. My life has been changed. These people are making this profession that I'm going to repent of my ways and my sinfulness, and I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn to God and live in His wills and His way. Here's what the Bible says when one sinner gets saved. Are you listening to me? Can I hear you say a good amen? Amen. Luke 15:10. Luke 15:10, the words of Jesus. In the same way, he says, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Can I tell you that in heaven today, when one sinner repents and trusts the blood of Jesus Christ and their life is changed, can I tell you, the angels in heaven lose their religious spirit and they start shouting and praising and giving glory to God because the kingdom of God is being built and lives are being changed. They're rejoicing in heaven. I don't know about you, but I would love to join in with heaven and rejoice along with them as well. I don't want heaven looking down here at me and say, look at them old fuddy-duds over at Bethel Assembly. They ain't even rejoicing. Rejoice. Celebrate. Conrad Worship Team, come help me. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Psalm 33 says this. God inhabits the praises of His people. That means where His people praise Him, His presence comes down. And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here, and glad family and friends are here. But more than anybody else, we need the presence of God to be here, because in the presence of God is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is peace that passes all understanding. So how many of you want these people that are going under baptism to have a sacred moment that they'll never forget today? Come on, somebody. You have a role to play in that. Because we're fixing to sing a couple of songs while we go change. And I want to challenge you to go in your mind back to your baptism. I want you to go in your mind to a place where you used to be and where God has touched you and changed you. And then I want you to get up on your feet and I want you to worship God these next couple of songs. And if we worship God and we praise God like we love God, His presence will come down in this place. And when them people come and get in these waters, the power and the presence of God will change them and touch them forever. So get on your feet. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. You are so good. You are so mighty. And we just celebrate these people today. We celebrate our salvation. We celebrate these ones that are making a public profession of faith. Lord, I pray that you would just take away our religious spirit. That, Lord, the shackles would fall off and we would have the freedom to just clap our hands and open our mouth and sing and worship and praise you for who you are, Lord. Move in this place. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord today, y'all.